from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Saturday afternoon. This is Robin. I can't feel my feet. And laughing at me over there is Cliff, who, by the way, has an excuse to stay at home because he's retired.
That's the best excuse I could come up with ever.
What I'm referring to, by the way, folks, is that I was the KRBN Internet Radio News Talk Radio representative at this year's American Cancer Society's Relay for Life in Cottage Grove, Oregon, where, by the way, even though Cottage Grove is a smaller town, so far, because the event is still ongoing, it should be wrapping up about now. So far, the event has raised over $45,249 for the weekend, and our little team has raised just about $1,800, which is not bad for a five member group. So. It's a good cause and glad to participate, even though I walked over 10 miles. And
well, you see, now you should have walked about 20 miles. The other 10 miles should have been walking around door to door asking for money.
Well, that's true. But instead, I went on the air because I know that we have some really nice people out there who would just love to donate thousands of dollars, not only to our station, but to the American Cancer Society.
Well, now, how can they, to the Cancer Society, but how can is there, do we have a website or something so they can donate to your team?
That's a good question. I think if you go to the American Cancer Society, well, actually, the best thing to do is just to go to American Cancer Society's website and make a donation from that point.
Yeah, but we want to get credit for it.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I don't know, the... Well, I won't get into their...
Next year, we'll have to set this up so that we make sure that we can do something to get credit for it. And we should have been spending the weekend, last weekend, talking about it and asking for donations. We blew it.
Well, we did at the end of the show ask for donations.
Yeah, but we should
have done a marathon. And maybe next year, if depending on how life, jobs, and everything else goes, then maybe we can set up our remote from there. But we'll see. We can only, do so much with what we have to work with and on our little budget. So, and we're just...
on our little budget? What budget?
Yeah, I turned in my pop bottles. Give me a break.
We did that the other day. Our candy. See, now that's interesting, pop bottles. You mentioned that. Around here, I put the pop bottles in plastic bags and throw them in the garage somewhere. And every so often... a guy comes on his bicycle and asks if we have any bottles. This time, Candy decided she was going to do it, so she gathered them all up and put them in the back of the car. And I guess it's not as easy as it sounds. You got to take them out, and nobody wants the stores and things don't want people doing this. So most of the stores have stopped collecting bottles or allowing it. Some of the stores, I guess. It's in Oregon, there's a law that says you have to. And so when they do it, they don't make it as easy as possible. So she had quite a time.
Well, yeah, and some have those stupid machines, which I hate dealing with because we do the same thing. We have a box out front of our place, and we let the neighbors and the kids or whoever wants them come and take care of them. And it works good for us because I've actually had kids before that were saying, my friends wanted to come and do some nasty things to your car, but I reminded them that you guys are actually one of the good guys. So called it neighborhood bribery, but it worked.
Really? And that's the name of the game.
Yeah.
And if you can bribe people to keep them from doing things, why not?
I think it worked good for both of us. We didn't have to deal with it, and whoever needed the money, got some extra money.
Yep. And it's not, unfortunately, there's not much money involved.
No, but if you don't have any money.
Yeah.
Pardon me, I'm trying to do two things. The chat room, by the way, still having trouble reconnecting, and I'm trying to figure out if it's actually Blog Talks Radio in again this week, or the new modem that we got from Comcast is blocking it. So I'm trying to, I got two things. I got another wireless system I'm trying to get on the other computer up and running, and it's doing its thing on whatever. So it's slow, just like everything. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if the new router, Comcast's new router is that we had. The old one was just basically a router only. This one's got, it was just one outlet, one computer you can hook up and you use your own router, which is what we have here at the station. Comcast's new one has got a four-point router. It's got built-in wireless and all types of security and firewalls and everything else in it. And they said, we want you to use that. And I said, no, I'm not going to use it. I want to use our system because it works. So I'm trying to figure out what's blocking or what's going on. Whatever. It's technology, yeah. And technology always has to be a pain.
Well, it keeps getting better and better. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. I'm not sure. Maybe it is getting better and I'm getting older. One or the other. I think maybe it has a combination.
Could be a little bit of both.
Yeah.
What I think is just getting so complicated is, for example, I'll give you a good example. This is from classic Star Trek. And by the way, if anybody wants to join the program, and even if I can't see you on the chat room at the moment, 646-721-9887. If you'd like to chime in on this or anything else that we're going to talk about today, we don't really have. Well, we do got some items we're going to talk about, but it's kind of open game today. If you want to talk about something, give us a call, 646-721-9887. To quote this phrase from classic Star Trek from Scotty, he said that the more complicated they make the works, the easier it is to stop up the plumbing. And that is so true. And the last week I had to deal with, and one of these days, Cliff and I are going to probably do about five shows on education, trying to get signed up on, I want to say it, Lane Community College's website, because to set up billing for a class I want to take, but because it's been a few years, they deactivated my account. And to get on the thing, get this. Most places, when your account is old, you just go in, you enter a password that's on your account, and they send you an email, and you click on the email to respond or to confirm that you're you or whatever, and life is good. Simple, right?
If you say so.
Except for Lane Community College.
Everything I've ever, when you get declassified, you have to start from scratch.
Well, this is what I had to go through. It took literally about six hours, actually.
My God.
To get this thing going.
Okay.
Because what I had to do was spend about an hour and 15 minutes on hold, waiting to talk to somebody, because that's what they said to do, because nothing worked. Got the instructions from them because half the pages were bad. They didn't want to work. And they said I had to go in and register as a new student, put down fresh information. Then what they would do is over the next couple, you get an email with a temporary password that doesn't do anything. Then they would go in and manually compare your information to the information on file, and then send you another password. And at that point, then they also send a link where you're supposed to enter some of the information they gave you, which didn't work. And they said, oh, because we worded it wrong. But again, another long time on hold. And also in between there, we spent 2 hours at Lane Community College waiting in line to talk to somebody to see if we can get it fixed. So basically, after all that, half the pages not working, finally got into my account and ran out of time to do anything else. So
that's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just so ridiculous. I mean, I don't even understand why you need to get to your account. Why not just start a new account?
Well, because of the student records and everything.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sounds to me like they're maybe they're letting students run the website.
Yeah, I don't know what they
like, don't know what they're doing.
I don't think, well, personally, I don't think that college knows what they're doing. And well, I was waiting there in the lobby in line to talk to somebody. There's somebody behind me saying, overheard him saying, "Oh yeah, I'm doing the computer networking course."
Huh.
Yeah.
They probably need you to do it.
Which is my degree, which when I get done, the student loan is going to be about $50,000 of nothing. No, I'm not.
No. I just think that whole thing is ridiculous. But that's, like you say, we can in a couple, maybe a few weeks or so, we can do a show about that, because this education thing, there's so much wrong with it. Just so much wrong with it.
I agree. And what you get for your money, you know, they talk about education and whatnot and whether it's worth it. And, well, I mean, several factors. I mean, I don't want to get too much into it today about it, but several factors that make a difference is, like, one, in Eugene is a college town. And the University of Oregon, the first thing people say is, "Yeah, go Ducks." my opinion, and I think Cliff backs me up on this, is that sports should be separated from academia. And
no, it should not. It should not be separated at all. The money made from sports should go to support academia. And it doesn't do it. Nothing. The money from sports supports sports. They go out and buy more sports things, and they don't need that. I actually think it goes to personal use myself.
Well, it is. It's a private venture, and that's why the night arenas and everything else. If you look at how much land, and this is just my opinion, I haven't actually sat down. This is just an observation. I could be totally off base here. If you look at how big the University of Oregon is, how big the night arena is, how big Autzen Stadium is, which is part of the Oregon Ducks thing, and it's grown tremendously, I would say square footage wise, you probably equal or exceeded the actual size of City Eugene itself.
Oh.
Because it has grown really big. In fact, as Cliff and I were talking off air, the University of Oregon is wanting to separate from the Oregon University system, and they want to have they got their own private police force now, and they're talking about arming their police force.
Yeah, that's one of the things I had. I just couldn't. You know, I have heard so many things, and some of them hearsay, I guess you could say, but a lot of them I hear just on the news about things that the students at the U of O campus are doing and in trouble they've been getting themselves in, and now they're going to take the police officers, the cops, university cops, not just rail cops. University cops, and they're going to allow them to carry guns. Well, they can't even carry themselves, let alone guns. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, I that scares the living bejesus out of me. I'm glad I don't live over there. I live in Cottage Grove, which is far enough away that they can't walk to Cottage Grove. I mean, it's 17, 19 miles away, and it's harder to get here. And I'm just as happy. I mean, we're close enough. We can go back and forth to any place we want to in Eugene and shop and so on and so forth. But University of Oregon campus doesn't get here very much. And thank God, because I don't have any. They just don't impress me. They just don't impress me at all. Actually, that's not true. They do impress me, but it's all bad.
Well, I'll take it a step further. The environment that calls to have armed police or armed security.
Okay.
It says a little bit about the society. You know, if things are bad enough that the security guards feel that they need to carry sidearms, I mean, how are you supposed to feel safe in general?
Well, see, that's the problem. They don't. I don't know how you control it. I mean, obviously the people who are interviewing the people who are going to school there aren't doing the job, aren't doing the process, because they're letting people go to school there that I don't think even should be citizens, let alone go to school.
Yeah.
But I mean, they've got a bunch of delinquents is all it is that I can say. I mean, that's what my opinion of the whole school is, delinquents.
Well, I mean, I can honestly say, now, granted, I mean, there's other people that are going to defend the University of Oregon. My extent of it was a whopping half term because the classes I had, I already recognized were something that I wasn't going to get anything out of, let's put it this way. And so I didn't stick with it.
Well, okay. I don't understand why you would go there in the first place. So.
Well, I had this idea because I knew that the course that was going that I was taking at Lane Community College was so bad that it was basically worthless. And I discovered after suffering through these courses that were required, human relations at work and stuff, to make you a more well-rounded person instead of going in and learning a trade, that I developed that I have an act for drawing. And anybody can run a computer or learn how to run a computer, but not very many people can draw. And so I've been told that if you have both skills, you can be quite advanced. So I was thinking about changing from computer networking to multimedia, which would also cover what we're doing here. And I just ran into between financial aid issues that, we'll get in another time, and just taking a couple of the courses and how they were ran and how they even, basically they treat you like children there. And it's just...
They were talking about separating themselves from the Oregon, university system and going on their own. I would very much like them to, and to eliminate any federal or state funds, any help they get from the federal or the state governments, any financial assistance, and make them do it themselves. Okay. I am very, very, very upset with the University of Oregon.
And by the way, the chat room is now open. Using the backup internet, because I like redundancy, so it is Comcast, that the new router that is blocking the chat room. So again, if you want to participate in the chat room, I do have access on it here. So blogtalkradio.com/KRBN to access the chat room. And again, if you are listening to us on the archives, you can always send us an email, talk@KRBNradio.com, and we do appreciate your opinions and input. And if there's any news items you'd like to send us, we greatly appreciate that.
And if you'd like to give an opinion as to what we should talk about, we'd be more than happy to hear that, too.
Absolutely. As we are slowly growing with our 3,000-plus weekly audience, which we do greatly appreciate, more
yep.
than you know.
Yep. Neat.
Yes, because this is we're running the station at a loss, but that's we need that going into it, but we do it because we love talking. I don't know if you like listening to us, but we love talking.
when we first started out, and sometimes a little bit here and there, we've talked about the electric automobile, and I want to bring up the fact that one of the things that I talked about for a long time, and I've mentioned over and over again, is electric automobile is a great idea. I think it's a fine idea. The only problem is the way they've been doing it is you have to charge it up somewhere along the line. It takes some time to charge it. They've changed that. They've brought down the time to charge it. If it was overnight, you had to set it there and charge to get it. Unless you had a special hookup, then you could do it in a matter of 4 or 5 hours. But they've got come out. Tesla has come up with an idea, and it's what I've been pushing all along, and that's changing the battery. In other words, you drive up to your service station, and it's not a gas station anymore; it's a service station. You drive it to the service station, and tell them they want a battery. And within 90 seconds, they take your battery out, put in a brand new charged battery, and change all of the settings that go along with that, and you're on your way. and how much that charge is a cost, that would depend on what the deal is. I think right now it's quite high. It's like $60 or $80 that it costs to do that. And that's but then you see you're getting a brand new battery that is charged. You're paying for the charge. And I think that's a little high, but then it's not high when you figure that the car that you're putting this battery in costs you a minimum $120,000 and the maximum of $250,000 because they've only got two models and that's the prices of the two models. But the idea is you then got another 200 miles in 30 seconds, 90 seconds to put in there to go. So, you know, some people have been complaining about that. You only go about 200 or 300 miles on a tank of gas, and it takes you more than 90 seconds to put a tank of gas in your car if you're talking about gasoline. So it's about the same, really. It's regardless of how you do it. And I don't know. An electric car to me is so much more desirable. It's quieter. It's pollution-free entirely if it's an electric car, not hybrid, but electric car. Then they are pollution free, and that's a big thing to a lot of people. That's not to me because I don't even have enough money to drive a polluted car. So
yeah, that's the thing about being poor.
Yeah, we have this little hang up amongst us here once in a while. There's a lot of us that are kind of stuck on this little hang up of no money.
We are financially challenged.
Yeah, it's amazing how that changes your way of life a lot. But anyway, Tesla has got a deal. They put, like you think, 90 different charging stations, which is changing the battery. So it's a thing that's actually happening. Other countries have been doing it, but I think it's the only way to go myself. And it will change. I assume that as we go along and people are doing more of it, the prices are going to go down, and it'll be more logical. Not the prices. The price of the car has gone down because they started out only having one car, and that was $250,000. But then they came out with another electric car that was only $100,000 to $150,000, and that's a lot different. So now all I have to do is change it to bring it down to about even half of that, $75,000, is still fairly expensive for a car, in my opinion. But nowadays, it's not. So,
well, if you think about the big picture, like Cliff and I were talking about this, you take a hybrid car, for example, and to replace the batteries, which is one of the biggest disadvantages of hybrids, unless you're one of those that likes to keep cars for 3 years and get rid of them, is that you're looking anywhere from $3,000 to $7,000 to replace the batteries. Well, if you're able to just, you know, drop a battery, put another one in, well, that battery that got taken out could actually be sent to a center so they can refurbish the batteries and keep them in use.
Oh, yeah.
And so the ultimate cost to the owner is less because, like Cliff said, you're basically changing, are you paying about the same that you would pay for a Philip?
Yeah. And I was wrong. It's only $60 to $80 change, not so much money. So it was $60 because you're not only changing your battery for a new recharge battery, you're changing for a new battery. Period. So consequently, you'll never have to change your battery and spend that $7,000 or $8,000 figure for your car. So it's really quite a bit of difference. And when you stop and figure out all of the different advantages you get out of that, it's not that expensive at all, $60. It seems like a lot, but it's not. For that matter, nowadays it costs you $60 just to fill it up with gas.
Oh, yeah.
And so consequently, it's not that different at all when you get right down to it. So
yeah, but if you look at the pros and cons, for example, you know, one of the attractions to going electric vehicles is, you know, again, avoiding the gas station and the expenses that go with it. Well, if you think that you're going to get an electric vehicle and ride down the road for free, well, I can only speak for Oregon. The answer to that is no, because at the end of the year, you've got to this has been a while since I've looked at the rules, so I may be wrong on this, but you know, you got to kind of pay a either when you license the vehicle or whatever, you pay like a road tax or whatever. And Oregon, as well as the federal government, is also looking into a GPS to install, so it will track where you go, what time you go, and charge you accordingly depending on all those factors.
See, and all of that could be factored into that $60.
Exactly.
So consequently, it's a lot to look at, but that $60 figure, when you think about it, it is not bad at all. It's not as expensive as it sounds, you know, because nowadays, like I say, even if you're just going in with getting regular gas, you can get up to pretty high, right up in that area. I mean, we go in there and fill up the car, and if it's empty, you're getting right in that area. And the thing about an electric car is electric engines, electric motors, last a lot longer. They take a lot, require a significantly less maintenance because there's only a couple of moving parts. You don't have oil to put in. You don't have any of that other stuff, water, anything. And so, plus the fact, electric motors, believe it or not, have a whole lot more torque than do regular motors. I mean, their torque is at 1 p.m., whereas maximum torque at a combustion engine is around 5,000 or 6,000 RPM. So, huge differences. If you step on the gas, so to speak, it goes instantly. And of course, that depends on how the car is made. But there's a lot of advantages to having an electric car that you don't I'm not going to get into them now because we've covered this before, and I want to cover it again when we can talk about it more logistically. But this, I just thought this was interesting that all of a sudden they have the, I guess I'll call it a filling station, because it is filling your electric needs, and it's just changing the battery, and it's only 90 seconds to do that, and it takes you longer than that to put gas in your car.
Well, when you talk about the torque, there's a story that somebody took a Datsun big B210, took the engine out, put an electric motor in, and started racing against dragsters and was beating them. Because like Cliff said, is that the if you look at the graph on where the torque is, it's basically, it depends on how much power is available from the batteries. But a motor has torque, like say, all through its range, where a fuel engine has torque at a certain RPM.
Yeah, and it's interesting because there was back many years ago when there was these guys were putting electric motors in on their own and doing it. One of the biggest problems they had was trying to keep the front wheels on the ground because they'd step on the electricity, so to speak, and the front end would pop off the ground and do wheelies constantly, and they had to do something to calm down the engine, to torque it down, to keep it on the ground.
Yeah. More fun.
Yeah.
As technology gets better, then it'll be more accepted. The biggest limitation is cost and range.
That's true. Well, it has been the biggest limitation. Range is now taken care of because you can go at this rate with it anywhere. So, you know, it's no longer having to stop and plug it in and let it sit there overnight to charge up. You in 90 seconds, you're ready to go again.
Well, one of the other things that some of the electric cars, and I'm not too sure about the hybrids, but the electric cars, is that if the battery's dead, the wheels don't free roll. So you have to jack the, you know, you can't just, for one thing, if you die out on the freeway because you ran out of charge on an electric-only vehicle, you just can't, you know, have somebody bring you a gallon of electricity. And to move the car, you actually have to have a tow truck come and raise the tires off the ground and put it on the flatbed. Because,
well, you're supposed to do that with an engine, too, because the transmissions and things, you destroy things when you...
Well, yeah, it's a lubrication of it, but I mean, just like, for example, with a gas or a fueled vehicle, you could put it in neutral and at least push it off the side of the road, but the wheels will lock on an electric car if it runs totally out, because that's one of the ways that it holds, keeps the vehicle from running. You know, the electric brakes that
Well, but if you turn the electricity off, it's not, those brakes don't work again.
Well, it depends on how it's set up. I mean, if it's like the, like what we had was automated guided vehicles, the electric brakes to move, now I'm not sure about the electric cars, but the electric brakes to move, you had to apply electricity because it went against a big heavy spring.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the technology. I just know that just an article that I read that they die, you don't go anywhere.
That's probably true. But there's ways around it.
Yes.
You know, I don't know for sure. I haven't read that article, so I don't know anything about that. And I don't know how Teslas work. I haven't read about that car either. This was just about the battery swapping idea.
Well, there's one technology that I do know how it works, and that is our program. Cliff, would you like to summarize that for me?
Summarize our program?
Well, how would they contact us?
That would be the easiest thing to do is use a telephone. Well, you can do that, or you could use the Internet. You know, we don't ever have anybody call us on Skype to get on with us, do we? Have you ever had anybody?
From time to time, we do. We do have the little Skype button up on our Blog Talk Radio website. You can just click on that, and it'll come up on the board. It's usually all ones or some random phone number. Either way, that it works the same, whether you're doing Skype or whatever. On Skype, you just go on there, and it just automatically assumes that you want to call us. But on the telephone, 646-721-9887, you can...
That's easy to remember.
Yeah, easy. You got that. Okay. You can listen to the program live without coming on the air, by the way, at that number, 646-721-9887. When you are ready to talk with us, you just push 1 on your keyboard, and it'll come up on my board, and I'll say, welcome to the program, area so-and-so. And of course, what we ask is, you know, keep the profanity down, because we are live.
Yeah, well, adults don't have to worry about. Well, that's not true. I use some once in a while, but you don't have to get carried away with that. But if we got the kids around here, I don't mind kids coming on if they have something to say. But if they're just here to swear at us, I don't care about that.
That's right. Keep the F bombs to the minimum.
Yep. So anyway, what else have we got to talk about? We've talked about police carrying guns and the swapping batteries and what else?
Here's be a little. You and I were talking about this yesterday off air. Little trivia things, and it's called 10 ways to give up your privacy. Some of them are kind of obvious. Some of them are kind of I never thought of that. So Cliff, you want to play a little game?
Sure.
Okay. I'm just going to throw out there, and since we talked about it, you kind of have an idea, but what would be one not very obvious way, in your opinion, before I get into the list, to lose your privacy?
One not very obvious way?
Uh-huh. Something that most people do every day that you would think that you don't even think about.
God, I don't even have a hint. That could be almost anything.
One would actually be, if you look at this list, is just getting out of bed. You can do it, considering how everything is being integrated. And I mean, if you get out of bed, for example, turn your cell phone on, get on the computer, you've already told the world that you're up and about.
You're up and about, and you've given a lot of information, by turning on the computer.
Exactly.
Almost anything we do on the computer, you have to be signed up to do it. Just the idea of being online itself, you have to be signed up somewhere.
Exactly. And just turning on a cell phone. Anyways, this the 10 easy ways to give up your privacy, and hat tip to the Fiscal Times for this article, so we'll give them credit where credit's due. Number one on the list is having a baby.
I'm probably not going to have to worry too much about that.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah, thanks to getting my parts repoed.
Well, you see, it's you're going to have to give up a lot of information if you're going to have a baby, because hospitals require a lot of information, doctors require a lot of it. I mean, That's true. I mean, a huge amount of who I am is available at a doctor's office. Supposedly, however, they're supposed to be careful about giving that information out. But every time I turn around, I hear somebody saying, "Oh, but I'm sorry, I just walked away and left this computer there and on, and this guy came in with a USB plug and plugged it in and just downloaded all the information out of it." Well,
or somebody stole my laptop out of my car.
Yeah.
And got 200,000 Social Security numbers on it, which happened to, I think it was the Veterans Administration.
Now the thing is, that'd be interesting to know who stole that. We don't know who stole that laptop, but it could have been just somebody that wanted a computer, and they didn't give a damn about the $200,000 different bits of information. They could have just wiped them out.
Well, take it further. What's that doing on a laptop to begin with?
Well, you know, everything nowadays, everybody uses laptops. Even sitting at desks and at work, they use a laptop. They don't use a real computer.
Right. But here's the thing. Unless you're encrypted. See, I wouldn't put all that information on the laptop itself. If I was going to connect to, say, a government server, it'd be through what's called a VPN, a virtual private network, which would be a secure direct line. And so there'd be no need to have all that information on your laptop, unless that's what they're referring to, that somebody steals a laptop and the guy didn't have a direct or secure login or whatever, secure password or good password, then they would have access to it. But, they don't go into details because they're embarrassed enough as it is.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I don't think, I don't think most of the people who see a laptop sitting in the back seat of the car or on this passenger side of the car and just reach in and grab it, I got a computer. They don't give a damn about what's on there. They're going to get rid of it. They're going to wipe it out, or they're, God, I got this neat laptop that I stole out of this car and the hard drive is full. I just wiped it out and got rid of everything on there.
I don't care. I'll get $15 for it.
Of course, how many people know how to wipe a hard drive out? So I don't know. There's so many ways of looking at that.
But anyways, in addition to getting back to having a baby, in addition to, as the law is now, as soon as you're born, you have a Social Security number, and that can be stolen, but that's a different thing. They also now have your genetic profile, and we don't know if they also took a DNA sample or whatever else they did, because for whatever testing they do. So I don't know. I've never had a child. Don't want one. Thank you very much. But you do hear the stories. But anyway, that's number one of the...
Talking about Social Security number and having the Social Security number, nowadays that doesn't really mean anything. I remember in California years ago, I used to work at a store in a mall, and we did a lot of business with some people. And to find out who they were, we get to hold on their Social Security number. The thing is, these people would have 2 and 3 Social Security numbers. You didn't know who they are. You don't have any idea who they are. So that's the Social Security number, I think, is a pretty weak system and a pretty bad way of finding out any information. You don't know what information you're getting.
Exactly. Number two, and by the way, you wouldn't think about this, but as a former truck driver, we're all familiar with this for this reason. Number two is if you buy an Easy Pass. Now, an Easy Pass is one of those transponder things you put on your dash to go through a toll booth without having to stop. Well, here's the thing. And again, just like truck drivers going through way stations, if you're traveling along, for example, and say you go through, like Oregon, for example, you come in from California, you go through a port of entry way station, everything's logged. And then if you go into Washington State, where you go through Washington's port of entry, and of course everything's logged, and they calculate, how long it took you to get there, and versus the speed limit. Well, traveling, the speed limit, you shouldn't get there sooner than this amount. Well, here's the thing that is starting to happen now with these Easy Passes is that, again, according to this article, is that, they entered one toll plaza and exited another a bit too quickly and got a speeding ticket because it showed that, again, it was logged. You came through here at this time. You came through there at that time.
And you can't get there at that speed.
At that speed. And so it's documented. And, you know, unless you found a way to get the plasma conduit working so you can have a transporter, you were speeding in. Therefore, they give you a ticket. And it really does happen, and especially like in the commercial vehicles. But with this, it really does happen.
And it's probably going to come happening more and more in cars because they're going to put all these document feeding information in the cars. They're going to have all kinds of equipment to verify what you're doing and how long the car has been on. And, you know, they'll know how old the car is. And they know all the information about the car. It's going to get to the point that they're going to know when was the last time you put oil in your car. And if you hadn't put oil in your car, it could be bad because the car then, of course, spews more emissions and causes more problems. I mean, we're just going to keep getting more and more and more controls on what we're doing and how we're doing it. And it's just a part of life.
You're exactly right. In fact, that may be, since you suggested it, then maybe that might be a plan for the EPA where, well, let's see, you know, they... Because the cars can tell you sometimes, you know, you're due for an oil change and you have to reset it. But with all the integration in vehicles now, it could tell you you went over your 3,000-mile oil change and therefore you're not being environmentally friendly. And just like the previous example, you get a ticket in the mail saying you're not doing your maintenance.
That's it. It's amazing there are things that we're, you know, you're really speaking of giving up our privacy. That's one of the ways that we're doing it without him. Well, I don't know. We're thinking about it, but it doesn't make much difference what we think of the idea. It's there.
Exactly. Number three on the top 10 ways to give up your privacy is go buy a house. Because they say in addition to some of the requirements to make the loans, especially make the loans harder, you have to, well, basically give your tax returns, your bank statement, do you own or lease, and everything else about you that you're giving to the bank.
Yeah. Even renting a house nowadays, you're giving an awful lot of information.
Exactly. So,
of course, I don't blame it. Even if you give that much information, all that information, it can go bad. You know, you rent to the wrong person and they tear up your house or vice versa and what happens. And yet at the same token, I've been in the position of being a rental agent, and I've rented to a lady that had virtually horrible information. All the information she gave me was just absolutely terrible. She had bad credit, this and that and the other, and yet she's been one of the best tenants I've ever had.
Well, and that brings up a good point, as you mentioned that, is that like auto insurance and jobs, checking your credit. Well, I mean, we had financial difficulties and had to declare bankruptcy because of medical bills. However, in my late 50s, my driving record is spotless.
Yeah.
So how my credit report affects how I drive, they say it does, but, you know, I don't think the two relate to each other, in my opinion.
Yeah, if you have no money, you don't drive good. Interesting. I'm poor, so consequently, I don't care about my car.
Exactly. Number four, which kind of goes along with the same thing as the house, is go lease a car.
Yeah.
If you
anytime you're leasing something, anytime you're going to give out every bit of information they can possibly get, and I don't blame them. I mean, you're taking quite a chance on somebody when you're leasing something. Regardless,
well, I agree, and the information that you put out as well. Computer's going slow, but at least it's
well. I wouldn't want to lease something to someone or allow someone to have it without knowing as much information as I could about that person.
Exactly. And here's one that kind of goes along with I'm going to expand on this one. It's called buy a Metro card, which is like for riding the bus or whatever. But I'm going to expand on that is that get a Safeway or an Albertsons discount card, because that also logs in a database what you bought and at what store you bought it. So
it's really difficult to actually shop at Safeway if you don't get the card. I went there, and I refused to sign up anything for their cards. And I actually walked out and left my shopping basket there one day because they said, well, no, you have to do this. And I said, no, I don't. I'll go to a different grocery store. I'll go to a different town. In fact, I was so mad at that particular time. I was not too worried about going to a different country.
Yeah. Well, probably kind of expensive to go there for a shake. But anyways, number six. Buy a smartphone, as we were talking about earlier. Here's an interesting thing. I don't know about iPhones because I'm still learning about them. But if you have an Android app on Android, there's an application that you can get that it will show you all sensors that are available on an Android. And in fact, I'm going to take my Android here and I'm going to open up that app and I'll give you an idea. And this will tell you about just a little bit about what's happened. Keep in mind that even though, and the same thing with the iPhone, even though they use the word phone, all these are small computers, and just like your laptop or your computer at home, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. Like if you do a scan, antivirus scan, like say on my cell phone, there's over 2,000 files that are open. If you do a scan on your, or 2,000 files in it, and a lot of stuff going on in the background. But this one here has a GPS in it, has an accelerometer, a gyroscope, light meter, magnetic field detector, orientation detector, proximity detector, battery status, and sound level. And that also doesn't talk about the different radios that it has built in for both the 3G, 4G, and Bluetooth, as well as wireless. So
it has sound level meter, so you don't want to yell at your phone.
I don't, because it will know and get mad at me.
Yeah, it gets very upset. Well, you know, the interesting thing is that with this cell phone, you've got all this stuff in your cell phone and all this information there. Actually, it's got the apps and it's got the beginnings of every one of these things in your cell phone. But the cell phone actually uses online information to store anything, to do anything, to do the actual programs that it's actually doing. The programs are online somewhere. They're not on the phone.
Exactly. Like Siri, for example, stores your questions for 2 years. And in fact, you don't think that much about it, but I had an interesting error on my phone. Just not doing anything, this error would come up, and it says voice command, an unexpected server error occurred. Please try again. Well, here's the thing. I wasn't doing anything with the phone. It just started coming up. Because these phones, even the old flip phones and any cell phone exactly, on regular basis, it checks, well, depending where you're at, it checks in with the server. I mean, not with the server, but with the towers, and that's the way cell towers work. The cell tower has to know where you're at, so the phone puts out a call and says, I'm here, and a cell tower responds and says, hi, welcome to the network, you're allowed. And by doing that, for one, your location is tracked, even if you have your GPS turned off or other information. That's just the name of the game. It does that on a regular basis. You take cell phones, like, for example, voice recognition on a cell phone, which is this one. It doesn't do it on the phone itself.
Right.
The same thing with Siri. It doesn't do it on the phone itself. It sends it to the servers who, at that point, it's the raw data that goes to the servers. It interprets what you says and sends back the results to your phone for it to act on.
And that's actually changing the whole world of computers, because when I go to install a new program on my computer, they're doing it now so that you're only installing a little bit of the program and you have to be online to use that program.
Right.
And that's going almost all to every type of thing now. And I get really tired of it. I would prefer, you know, I bought big computers so that it could all work on my computer. I spend money to get big hard drives. I spend money to get huge engines, and they can all work on my computer. But now I don't need to. All I need is a little itty-bitty thing and just go online and let it work online. And I don't want that. That's disturbing me.
Microsoft has a thing they call the Office 360, and that's what it's supposed to do. Instead of buying, say, Word or Excel or whatever for several $100 having it in your system, you pay a subscription fee. And the argument in favor is that you can go to any computer, log into your account, and access your documents. Well, again, as long as you keep paying your monthly fee. The downside of that is, like the Caribbean server here, the router.
Mm-hmm.
If it does an update and decides to block something like this one is doing, which is why on that one the chat room's not working, but it is on the other, or internet goes down.
Yeah.
And if the internet goes down, you got this box that will do absolutely nothing except for maybe play solitaire.
I'm not going to talk about that. I spend hours playing solitaire.
Right. But the other thing, too, is that, and again, this is my opinion only, when I don't want to spend too much information talking about the cloud, but one thing that we learned in or did get out of my networking class, if I got anything out of it, and it's just common sense, is that anytime you connect your computer to anything, any information that you have is available. It's just like if you go online and put something, say, on Facebook and immediately delete it, it's there forever.
Yep.
Okay. It's accessible. So you start using the cloud, which a lot more businesses are using, because then they don't have to buy expensive servers. They don't have to have a network and a high-priced network administrator and all the infrastructures to run it. You just put everything on the cloud. Well, okay, fine. It winds up on, like, say, either Google's data centers or somebody else's data centers. Great. But once it leaves your system, you have no control on it, no matter how it's encrypted.
I think that's one of the things I would be interested in becoming proficient at is making my own encryption and making it available only. There are ways you can go about this. There are ways that you can encrypt things that are very easy to see and very easy to understand, but they are available only to you and whoever you deem necessary to receive that information.
I agree.
And, well, never mind. But it's interesting. It doesn't have to be a difficult system. I mean, an easy system can do the same thing.
Well, and speaking of encryption, and by the way, and some police agencies are starting to use this, there are tools out there that can, even without you knowing it, log into your phone and look at your pictures, your texts, your voicemails, and other stuff. And there's some civil rights cases about that, about how and when should the law enforcement agency have that information available to them.
Well, see, we're giving that up all the time. The as we go along, we're giving up our right to have that freedom and that privacy. It's just one of those things that we the system we're using, the world is changing, and that's one of the ways it's changing.
To add to that, and which is number 7 on my list of 10, is the information that we voluntarily put out there. Like, for example, Twitter and Facebook are two excellent examples. Somebody innocently wanting to share with their family that, oh, hey, we had meatloaf for dinner last night, and it was really great. Well, okay, fine. Some school, I'm not saying this has happened, I'm just saying that it could be, some school administrator can be going, okay, well, let's see, you served your family meatloaf. I don't think meatloaf is really healthy for you, and you probably fed that to the kids, and that's not good nutrition for the kids, and so therefore,
there was something in the news on the television about that just a couple of days ago.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. I don't remember exactly what it was because I wasn't interested in remembering it, but I do remember that it was on the news, and it had to do with what you're feeding, what you're serving for dinner, and how it's affecting your family and what it's affecting because, again, some people don't believe in certain certain foods.
Right.
And some people believe you should eat more vegetables, but other people, other philosophies, believe you should eat more meat. And, it's what's the thing that really gets to me is 1 month, one thing will be the right way. The next month, right. Another thing will be the right way. And I don't believe in any of it. I just do what I like to do.
Yeah, I demand my right to be fat.
Well, the thing is, what's fat?
Yeah.
What's fat? You know, I don't believe you're fat. I don't believe I'm fat. I know I'm overweight as compared to a lot of the little gimmicky things that they put up in the doctor's office.
The BMI, like my BMI's ultimate weight versus my frame structure, is two different things.
Well, yeah, I went on Nutrisystems. And when I went on Nutrisystems, I started losing weight and started losing weight. And then all of a sudden, the doctor came in and said, okay, you've got to stop. And I said, what? I'm not down to my desired weight yet. I still had like 50 or 60 pounds to go. And he says, you don't do it. Or he says, I won't treat you. He says, that's too low for your test. That's not enough weight for you. And so that was, good Lord, that was 35 years ago. And I had quite a talk with the doctor, and then I went back and talked to the Nutrisystems people and talked to their doctors, and we went around and around with that, and that's when I decided to what weight I am. It depends on me, not on the little list.
Well, and to top that off is other people deciding what's good for you and your kids or whatever, like a story we did where or that we commented on, that this mother packed a sack lunch for their child, and the school decided that they wanted to inspect the lunch and decided that it wasn't nutritious enough, took the lunch away and replaced it with chicken nuggets. If you didn't say if the chicken nuggets were breaded or not, I'm going to assume like McDonald's chicken nuggets, you know, which anything breaded is, I don't know, not good for you. But the whole point is that you put it out there and somebody somewhere like Michael Bloomberg, who feels that you shouldn't have too much soda or trans fats or whatever else, and they know better than you. But again, be careful what you put on, like I say, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, because some employers are looking, and in some instances, I think they're either they passed the law or they're thinking about passing the laws, making it illegal for employers to ask you for your password. Your Facebook password. I would tell them if I was asked. I haven't been asked yet. I would tell them I don't have a Facebook. Sorry.
Well, I actually do have a Facebook. About, Lord, I think it must have been a couple years ago that I signed up for Facebook. And then I realized what it was doing and where it was going. And I didn't put any more information on there. I haven't added to the information on there. Haven't bothered to go look and see what's on there. Maybe I should someday. Who knows? Maybe somebody else has put something on there about me. Whether they know about me or not, because that could happen too.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't care about it. I just have let it go. I don't have a Twitter. Yeah, I do have a Twitter account, come think of it.
Right.
I have one of those too. About that same time, I signed up with both of them. But I've just let them go.
Yeah, and your emails, for example, unless you got a private email like we have, krbnradio.com, talk at krbnradio.com to be precise. If you use Yahoo, Google, or some of the other freebie services, they scan it for advertising. But the other thing to kind of take be worried about, like I say, is what you're putting on there, because, there has been people that have got fired for making a comment.
Yep.
On Facebook. And I got a Facebook account. I don't really do much on it. This is where I was going with this. The information that you put when you sign up for Facebook, and say somebody sends you an invitation to Farmville, one of the popular games on Facebook, when you click on it, it comes up with a warning. By accepting this offer, you are giving out this information. Now, most people don't read that stuff. See, I'm one of those weirdo type of people. I read Google's and those types. So that's why, people thank you for the invitations, but no thank you. Same thing like with signing up for the calendar of your birthday, whatever. No, no, thank you, because I'm not going to volunteer my personal information. In fact, one thing that I do when I do sign up for an online account, especially like a Facebook, I don't use my real birthday. Because I'm giving up so much information about myself, it makes it a lot easier for somebody to intercept that or use it wrong, that they could steal my identity and go out and get my credit of $1.98 and take my pop auto collection.
Yeah. I never thought about that. I never thought about giving you the wrong birthday.
Right. But otherwise, you know, like it says here in this article, it says the more you use your social network, the less privacy you have, because not only do they know about, you know, your employer, your bank, your school, your parents, your spouse, what dog you have, what you did, did you go on vacation? That's one thing they warn on this one program I was watching about security. If you're going on vacation, don't tweet about it.
Yeah, yeah. That's logical.
Yeah, but people do that.
Yeah.
I mean, like I say, yeah. Logical, but it happens.
Well, and you think, you know, I don't know. I know, and I work with the thought ever present in my mind that if it's on the internet, it's available to anybody and everybody. But you don't think about emailing somebody and somebody grabbing that information and trying to steal something from it. I don't know. You know, I don't put it. I try very hard not to put anything out there that I care about anybody else having.
Right.
But I wouldn't have thought about, you know, just mentioning. I'm going to go so-and-so to such-and-such next week for 2 weeks. That, you know, you don't think about that as being giving away some information that could be useful to someone. Of course, in my household, I can tell them I'm going away for 2 weeks and to do so-and-so and such-and-such, and they can come and steal or come to my house to steal something, but they'll find there is somebody home. You know, that would be – that's the thing. There's never anybody – there's never a time when there's no one home.
Exactly.
In my house. Whether it may not be me, but there's someone here.
Yeah, including that big dog you have. Number eight, register for SSI, in other words, or SSD, rather, Social Security Disability. And because they said there's a lot of privacy given up to get disability insurance. And I have a thing to add to that. Is that I'm going through a workman's comp thing, and the questionnaire that I have, which is, I'm counting, I think about 15 pages long, some of it I can see, for example, you know, who you are, because it's work-related injury, what other jobs that you have. But here's the thing that, and I even called them on this, that they're asking, and how it relates to why I have what business is it because I have an on-the-job injury. And they want to know that, do I have a GED and the date of that certificate? Do I have a high school diploma? What's the highest grade I completed? Do I have a college education? Where did I go to college? Do I have any what type of degree do I have? What is my – how fast can I type? And which hand is dominant? What is my interest, hobbies, volunteers? Am I a union member? And it's like, okay, what does that have to do with the price of tea?
You know, I got in trouble once for that because I am old enough to need Social Security, and I, of course, had to sign up for it and all that sort of thing. So I gave all that information. But they keep sending me all these forms to do this and that and the other. And so I sat down and I filled out one of the extensive forms, one of the long ones, one of the five-page job, he said he has a little bit of everything. And then I sent it out to the next three people that sent me and wanted something. And they got all upset because they got more information than they. But the thing is, they didn't know the form. Right. And so they got more information than they needed, but it didn't work. I got yelled at for sending out more information than I needed. I'm supposed to fill out their form, regardless of whether it's good or bad or indifferent. I just figured, what the hell? Send out the same form to everybody, and then everybody can just pick and choose.
Exactly. In fact, I won't be able to find my stack of stuff. Speaking of workman's comp, I got a certified letter from them yesterday ordering me, not asking me, ordering me to go down on Tuesday to urgent care and report in at a certain time. not asking me if that's okay or to make the appointment. They're ordering me, and if I fail to do that, I will be fined $100.
Yeah.
I'm like, thank you.
Really? Really? That's so
I would have gone down there and made the appointment and worked with them without having to be forced or told. You know, it's like this, because the claim is still in the determination stage. It's like, okay, well, if I miss the appointment, hey, guess what? It doesn't satisfy the claim, and the claim is void and null. You know, so, but you don't have to threaten me with a fine and do whatever.
You know, I always consider what if two organizations have a place for me to go at the same time? Which one do I decide to go with? And
I'd say it'd be who the organization was. It'd be like, okay, if you had a choice, say visiting the CIA versus the IRS. Well, let's see. Yeah, the CIA is one of those type of people that, is pretty serious stuff. But the IRS, that even makes people in high office scared.
Really? Really? Yeah. It's ridiculous. And as far as, you know, I just say the heck with it. And I tried to fill out, you know, to simplify it by just sending in the longest form. But that doesn't work either. So you have to fit out each one, take the time and do the trip of each one. So I have a list of information sitting on the desk that has all of the questions there. And I can just sit down and copy them for the one, whatever list I'm filling it out.
Well, anyways, number 9, pay your taxes, since we're talking about that. Because if you look at the same way, all the financial information you have to put in your tax forms tells a lot about you. But hackers can break into the banks and other information and get that.
I had a friend of mine who solved that problem. He just didn't pay any taxes. Of course, the problem with that is when you go to work, they withhold the taxes. So most of the times they withhold more than they need, and you would get money back. But he always told them they had 14 kids, and so they didn't hold very much, and he didn't have anything coming back. So he would owe them, and he didn't pay that either.
Exactly.
And
right now he has very comfortable with 3 meals and a cot, right?
No. As a matter of fact, he made it all the way until he died. He didn't get in trouble for it.
Well, that won't stop the IRS.
Yeah, really.
Number 10. This one here is, and I guess Cliff's got a little bit more insight on this one than I do. But number 10, that you really wouldn't think about your innocent game console. And Microsoft, Cliff has an update on this, recently debuted their Xbox One video game console that, along with the revelation that they would require users to always be connected to the internet and would track their usage.
Yeah, they just came on television a couple of days ago and had a big thing about that on the news, and that they retracted that you could actually play their game without going online. For me, I can't believe they would require you when you bought a game. And first of all, you paid $600 for the game. It was not the cheapest game. And then they require you to go online. There are some people in this world, believe it or not, who are not online, and they couldn't play the game.
Same thing. Like, say, if you're a truck driver, for example, and you want to play Xbox, you know, and you're parked, you're doing your break on the side of the freeway somewhere, chances are you may not have an internet connection.
That scares me too, to think that they're playing games in their truck.
Well, it gets boring when you're doing that 10-hour requirement. But
yeah.
This one here has there's computers that are coming out with something similar, too. It has motion sensors, audio recorder, video devices. There's a computer that's being introduced that does not use a mouse, does not use touchscreen. It actually looks at you for the motions of your hands to how to navigate through the computer or through the TV set. Well, to do that means it has to – you ready to join me on this one, Cliff?
Okay.
How does it do it? It has to look at you. a camera. And if it has a camera, it's like a webcam or like the camera in your cell phone, which could be remotely turned on and the little light won't even come on. You don't even know you're being videoed.
Nope. So you got to remember to make sure you don't play this game in the bathtub.
Or in the nude, you know, like if you look at yourself and, you know, and all the curtains are drawn and you think, okay, well, I'm not going to put any clothes on today. Well, you know what? Your dishwasher may be watching you, so watch it.
The refrigerators especially, they've had things in the door of them for years.
I can't trust the refrigerator.
No, not at all.
Don't trust the refrigerator. It's a gossiper.
Really. That's true. It really is. Because the refrigerator can collect all kinds of information about you.
Oh, it can. And that gets into, even though it's not on the list here, but as more and more devices, and I don't know if it's really getting popular, because it's been a while since I bought devices or looked into it, because, again, nothing in my house dies easily. But, you know, they talked about hooking your refrigerator up to the Internet so that it knows what's in it, and if you get low, it can give you a list or a call or it can call the serviceman for you.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of interesting, you know, all of a sudden. Hi, your refrigerator called me because it's feeling sick.
Yeah.
Well, fine. My refrigerator can pay the bill, too. Go talk to it. I'm going home.
Really? Well, you know, I bought a new television a couple of years ago, and I got the cable set up to go with it. And when the guy came in to hook up the box for the cable and the controller and everything like that, he says, well, where do I hook it to the television? Telephone. And I says, what do you mean, when you hook up to the telephone? He says, well, there's no telephone outlet nearby. He says, I'm going to have to run a wire across your kitchen to get to the telephone. And I says, no, you're not. And he says, you're not going to hook it up to the telephone. Why would I hook my television up to the telephone? He says, it has to be hooked up to the telephone. And I says, no, it doesn't. And he ran the wiring to it and ran the, there's a controller for it, and he ran that and hooked it up. He just didn't hook to the telephone actual plug. He didn't run it across the kitchen. And then when he left, I just turned it off and unplugged it, and it's sitting in the back in the garage now. But they decided that my television had to be connected to the Internet.
Well,
through the telephone.
If it's a Dish Network or something similar.
It was Dish Network.
Okay. Now, I don't know, because the Dish Network was a one-way receiver, and so to put a request out and to activate your account, it had to dial out on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the point there, too. You're giving access from something else to use your number. Who knows what it's doing? It could be making 800 or 900.
Well,
the 900 services?
Yes.
Your Dish Network could be out there going, hey, what are you wearing?
Well, see, it wanted to charge me when I watched movies. That was the idea. I could go online on the television. I could go to a channel and watch a movie. And it was not free. And every time I watched one of those movies, it would charge me. Well, it was charging me without my even knowing it.
Yeah.
Well, it would have anyway if I had hooked it up. But I've never hooked it up to the telephone.
Dish Network, please don't sue me for that comment. I've just made that up.
Well, I'm about ready to get rid of them, too, because I've had them for a while now. And the price keeps going up. It started out at $29.95, and now it's at $49.95 or something like that. And so I'm about ready to drop them and get rid of them. And what I've done is actually I have bought a new computer. I think I've told you that I got a new computer. Well, the reason I got another computer, I really don't need three computers sitting at the desk. But the third computer is going to hook up to my television and get rid of the Dish Network so I can actually go online and watch TV.
There you go. And that's the famous changing the world. But we won't get into it.
Oh, yeah. Everything is changing the world.
And that's the thing, too, that like I was saying earlier about emails, you know. For example, here's a good example, DVRs, digital video recorders. How many times have you heard on the news broadcast that, Janet Jackson's costume malfunction, so many thousands of people had paused and rewound their They actually had statistics on this. It's like, okay, hey, great. Wait a minute. How did you get these stats? Oh, you are actually, my DVR didn't just record like you'd think a VCR would do. It actually communicated back that I pushed the pause button and
played it how many times.
Exactly, and played it how many times and what you're playing and wherever else. I don't have a DVR, and I don't plan on getting one. But still, it's like if I'm watching something and pause it or want to go back to it, that's my business.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a DVR either, but I do things on the computer. I record things off of the computer that I can play back on the television. And I have a little device sitting over by my television. It's a little player, and it plays the different formats that the recorder on this the computer. Mm-hmm. But I bought this about 2 years ago. Well, since then, there have been different extensions. In other words, my player plays AVIs and a couple of things, but now they've got some D4s and this and that and the other and different extensions that my player doesn't play. So now I've got to buy a new player, but that's why I said, to hell with that. I'm not going to buy another player and keep buying and keep buying and keep buying. I'm just going to buy a computer which will play any of them.
Exactly. But again, you know, like to get back to the point about privacy is that like I said, if you get out of bed, somebody somewhere is going to know about it.
Well, and that's the thing. I, because of that very idea, I've decided to hell with it. I don't care. I'm just not going to do anything that anybody cares about. Well, let's put it that way. I'm not going to do anything I care that everybody knows about. Now, you know, if I get up in the morning, of course I'm going to get up in the morning at some time or another. I'm going to change my clothes and be nude or whatever, and people may get to see that. If there's somebody that's interested enough in seeing me in that mode, more power to them.
Yeah, knock yourself out, baby.
Yeah. They've got to be weird in the first place. So, I mean, especially with me, I mean, God.
Right.
If I was some sexy woman or something, Or for that matter, I guess if it were a woman, it could be men. But I'm not even for a man, I'm not sexy. So if they want to take a look at me, then more power to them.
I'm too sexy for men.
Yeah, really.
646-721-9887. We have 12 minutes remaining in the program. We're talking a little bit about the Cottage Grove Relay for Life, South Lane County, and what the American Cancer Society Relay for Life does and privacy. By the way, I want to also give kudos and a shout out to the South Lane Relay for Life, who again this year raised so far we're up to $48,854 for the 24-hour event with 32 teams, 331 participants.
Wow. Like,
yes, so congratulations and I'd like to see a bigger turnout next year, but again, you can contribute to the American Cancer Society all year long, and it is a good cause, and they are doing a lot of things, and it's interesting talking to some of the people out there, because they have an event out there that celebrates the survivors, and there are some people out there that have actually survived over 20 years and have had multiple instances of cancer, and it's all because of people's donations that they have done it. In fact, speaking of, I promised that I would bring this up on the program, is that one of the things that as people get closer to the end of life, there's an organization. It's a great organization that comes out to assist you and assist your needs and help your families and whatever. We had to deal with that with a family member, and the same thing with a friend that I lost about 3 weeks ago to cancer. But their request is that. The name of the service needs to be changed, because it's like saying that the Undertaker is coming to see you. The Undertaker, just the word, is so final.
Yeah.
You know, the guy with the, maybe it's not the Undertaker, but the guy, the Grim Reaper is what I'm thinking of. You know, the guy with the hood and the bones. And
yeah.
Okay. So they were thinking that what should be renamed is hospice, is to give it a different, less kind of you're doomed type of name is what they felt. And I can understand that because, as long as you don't give up hope.
See, now that's interesting. I think of hospice as we went to in Germany to these different hotels and stayed the night.
And it was hospices.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think of the hospice as something terrible at all. Whatever.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I got thinking about that. Oh, okay, yeah, I can understand that. And like my friend that... And it was nice to be able to put a, they call it a Illuminati, which is a celebration. What they do is that for $5, you get a bag that you can put, your friend's name on and information, and it's put around the track, and then it's lit up all night long with a candle inside. So it's kind of to honor, the friends and ones that you lost, and it's really kind of cool.
So they have lots of bottles awesome here?
Yeah, they filled up half the track with it.
Wow!
And I thought that was kind of cool, but I don't know, it's something to go through, especially when you know somebody and 3 months earlier they're looking pretty good, and then the news comes out and they're gone.
Sometimes it can happen rather fast. And then there are other people who it carries on and on and on and on. My great grandmother was that way.
Yeah.
She had it for a long time. I mean, talking about years and years and years.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's a rough deal. I have a friend right now. She's got stage 4 cancer. She's doing pretty good. And a lot of that is again because of the research that has been done. And, you wouldn't know by looking at her, you wouldn't know she's got stage 4 cancer. She's still working and it's costing her, I think it's close to $100,000 plus, maybe higher than that right now in medical bills.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the only thing wrong. That's the really bad thing about medical bills because if you're with any kind of bad disease, regardless, it doesn't have to just be cancer, you can run up a huge, monstrous medical bills, and there's no way you can possibly pay them, especially if you're the mainstay of the house, the person, the breadwinner, so to speak. How do you make money when you're sick and have to pay money? So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing.
Well, like in her case, for example, she is single.
Yeah.
She's in her late 40s. And, of course, she has mortgage payments. I mean, fortunately, like I say, she is working. She may have to give up the job at some point in the near future. And she's scared about losing her house.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really sad. And especially... when you get down to thinking about, the Obamacare, which is supposed to, help with that, but then you have this mysterious denied death panel where even this 10-year-old girl was supposed to get a lung transplant, or needed a lung transplant, and they denied her until public outcry said, do it, and then they finally gave in.
Yeah. Well, the health thing, I don't know what to do about that. That's a really hard one to figure it out. If we try using someone else's system as an example, and I'm thinking specifically of Great Britain, the United Kingdom, and of course the people in the United Kingdom are not really thrilled about their system either, so... it doesn't, everything has its advantages and disadvantages.
Right. Like computers that don't want to cooperate. They're trying to log in and get the team totaled. And,
well, It's interesting. We've got one little thing here I want to talk about. It's just the in the United States, there's a the gay rights movement in America. One of the nation's most prominent religious opponents of homosexuality has dissolved itself, issuing a long and detailed apology for the harm it's caused during its 37 years of existence. For 37 years, they've been against homosexuality, and now they decided that maybe that they were wrong. And so they have actually, you know, at least they did come to that conclusion, and they have held a big conference, press conference, I guess, about it. And they've, it was, of course, this was the Christian ministries who pushed this more than anything else, but they've changed their mind and said that perhaps it is not something that you can fix. You can't change people. If they are homosexual, they are. I mean, there's nothing you can do to make them different. And it's not something that you were taught. It's something that you were born with. And it's good to hear that somebody's finally admitting to this. I find it interesting. But they have done that. They've changed their mind, and they actually have dissolved the group. The whole group is no longer in existence, and they're going away.
Next, maybe they can figure out a way to fix stupidity.
Well, that's something else you're born with. Sorry. Although you can actually help it along. You can learn stupidity.
You can learn. You can go to Lane Community College.
Well, okay. That's a thought.
And I know the dangers of mentioning an institution, but I dare them to challenge me. come on the air and challenge me, and let's do a comparison.
Go to stupid class.
Go to stupid class.
Or stupid school.
Yes. Where I would wish, my dream would be for everybody to get together and have a class action lawsuit and get our money back.
Well, you know, that's not a possibility. Well, it is a possibility, but I would rather see us get together as a country and change the education system, because our education system, you know, we spend, I don't remember exactly the figures, but I saw it on television just yesterday. There was somebody who mentioned it, but we spend something like 10 times as much as anybody else on every student, and we get to about half as much as in results. In other words, our education system only teaches about half as much as the rest of the world does at 10 times the price. So we got some major problems.
Exactly. Well, with that, we've made it through another program, and despite the fact that I got through walking 10 miles today and dead tired and didn't have too much time to do much show prep, we did pretty good. At least we burned an hour and a half. But thank you for listening. Thank you for checking our site. And again, you can always send us an email, talk@radiotalk.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.